Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to plant new seeds. We know that when the season comes for planting, that there is a season that follows that is called harvesting. So those of us who are prayed, we're just waiting for this season to pass, for a new season to come. We thank you, O God, for the promises that you've given us, that you will never leave us alone. So we thank you, our God, that though it may seem like we are left alone, we can rely on your promises and believe with all of our hearts that we're never left alone. Speak to us now that we may know your will and your way for our lives, that we may rejoice even in the things that seem like they are not worth rejoicing in. Come now, Holy Spirit, guide and anoint us afresh, that we may do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Honor us with your presence and with your power. Bless the saints of this church, young and old, mature and immature. Our seasons are coming. Seasons of joy to take away our grief. Seasons of healing to take away our sickness. So we pray now that you speak to us through the message. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people who love God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel according to Luke, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Are called the synoptic gospels because they view the eye of Christ, the life of Christ, with the same eye. Some have called them the copycat writers because they tell the same short stories or pericopes about the life, the journey, the love and the legacy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke records this wonderful story that we may understand that sometimes we think ourselves too big for God's use. You catch that on your way home. In Luke chapter 19, we find these words. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he, Jesus, was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he, Zacchaeus, made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, church folk, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guests with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was now to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, "Come on down.
Come on
here. Come on down." I used to watch on TV a story, or I should say, a program that was called "The Price is Right." The guy who was commentating or leading the program, when a person's name was called, he would shout, "Come on down." Can you imagine when Zacchaeus heard Jesus say to him, "Come down"? Notice the Bible gives us a description of Zacchaeus. It says to us that he was a man that was short of stature. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it doesn't matter what your size is, God sees you. Hello. The Bible helps us to understand that he was a man of short stature. It does not elaborate and say that he had a Napoleonic attitude or personality, that he wanted to run everything, that he wanted to make up for his size by exercising control. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says about him that he was a short of stature and he wanted to see Jesus. And then the Bible adds to that that not only was he short of stature, but the Bible says, and he was rich. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, it doesn't matter whether you're short of stature, you can hit that $2 billion. Oh, y'all missed it. You'll catch it on your way home. I should ask the question, how many of you played the lottery? That's all right. Don't raise your hand. Oh, Lord. Deacons raising their hand. Preachers raising their hand. Can I say something to you? If you hit, don't forget the note. Don't forget the church. You remember I told you the story about a man who had hit the lottery or gone to Vegas, and he had won greatly. We'll say he had won a couple of $1 million. One of the games there, he came back faithful to his church. He gave a percentage of what he had won, not the tithes, not the offering, but a percentage. An old lady, with old member of the church on business meeting night, with snuff in her mouth, said, "Well, pastor, we're supposed to receive that money."
That money is tainted.
The pastor looked at her and said, "Sister, you're right. That money is tainted. It ain't enough." The Bible says that he was man short of stature and that he was rich. The question is, how did he attain his wealth? He helps us to understand in the latter part of the text by saying, "If I have taken from any man," help me here, "if I have taken, then I will restore fourfold." The law did not require that he restore fourfold. But after being in the presence of Jesus, he now is ready to give more than what was required. Are y'all going to pray with me? I'm standing between you and ribs and sausage. And so y'all better help me here. The Bible helps us by beginning with that first verse and said, "Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Notice, he enters and he passes through. Why would he enter and not stop and not minister to the people at that time? Well, it was as he passed through that a man wanted to see him named Zacchaeus. And so in order for him to get to where Zacchaeus was, he could not tarry in the city. If he had tarried, maybe Zacchaeus would have grown weary in trying to see Jesus. That's a preaching point there. That preaching point is, sometimes he may not come when you want him, but he is an on-time God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Bible helps me to understand that sometimes he passes through me to get to somebody that needs him at that moment more than I do. The road to Jericho. You remember that it was on the Jericho road that a man falls prey to thieves and robbers who robs him of his wealth, who strips him of his clothes and leaves him naked and half dead, unconscious. But the Bible helps me to understand that even though you are left half dead, there's still life in your body and an opportunity for someone to help you. Help me, somebody. Have you ever felt like you wanted to give up? Have you ever been beaten by problems, by situations, by crises in your life? And you wanted to give up, and the church, yeah, that you're a member of said, "We don't help your kind." Or the church that you stop by, or they pass by members on the other side, or the law did not plead your case effectively. The Bible says that a Levite representing the law passed by on the other side, and that a clergy person representing the church looked at him and walked on by. But a Samaritan, the Bible says a Samaritan, did not say a good Samaritan. The Bible said a Samaritan. We put the adjective good on it because of his actions. Sometimes when you do the best you can, and the best you can is enough, people will put an adjective. They'll say, he's a good deacon, he's a good preacher, he's a good pastor, he's a good choir member. They put an adjective on you based upon your goodness. Well, they could also put an adjective on you based upon your lack of goodness. The Bible says that Jesus passed through. Verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, was his chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who was, and he could not for the press. Let's look at the press. What does the word press? It means the crowd. You know, some people can get in your way, crowd you out from seeing Jesus, crowd you out. They can be the best, have the best intentions, but they can crowd you out. They can be angelic in their singing and in their life, but they can crowd you out from seeing Jesus. You remember, I may have shared with you the little story about a Christmas play. Christmas play, a little boy come to be a part of the play, or he came to see the play. And mother asked him, said, Johnny, how did you enjoy the play? He said, I couldn't see the actors, I couldn't see the characters for those angels in the way. Oh, y'all missed that. Sometimes people come to church, they come to worship, they come to praise God, but we angels prohibit them from seeing Christ. If we get some of that angelic stuff out of us, so holy that we can't say amen, so righteous until we can't praise God, so wrapped up in songs that they sing on the earpin frame, we can't sing those good old spirituals, steal away to Jesus. Way down yonder by myself, I couldn't hear nobody praying. Or we forget Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. Or we forget, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. We only want to do the hip-hop singing. But can I tell you something? Hip-hop may get you to Christ, but your worship and praise of Christ will get you to live eternally with Christ. Singing Amazing Grace may not get you to heaven, but it will get you on the pathway to heaven. And so the Bible helps me to understand that the press, the crowd, prohibited him from seeing Jesus because he was little of stature. And then the Bible said he ran before the crowd. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, if you get in my way, I'm going to run ahead of you. That's why some people circumvent the system. That's why some people won't call you and won't call the pastor, because they feel like they need to run ahead and get ahead of the crowd. He climbed up a sycamore tree. I wish I had time to talk about the sycamore tree. The sycamore tree was not like a pecan tree. It was not like a great oak tree. It was a small tree, but it was large enough for him to see Christ. The Bible said when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, don't waste any time. Make haste. Come on down. For today I must abide at thy house. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received Jesus joyfully. And when they saw it, deacons, preachers, trustees, choir members, folk who just sit in the pew, ushers, when they saw him, they did what? They murmured, they complained that Jesus was going to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm glad I was a sinner. Because when he touched me, when he came to my house, I became a sinner saved by the grace of God. Maybe I need to ask the question, is there anybody here that Jesus stopped by your house? You were feeling bad and low and not feeling like you could make it, but he stopped by your house. He stopped by with a song. He stopped by with a prayer. He stopped by with a person. Came to the house of a sinner. That tells me that Jesus still make house calls. It's not too late for you. Some doctors won't make house calls. Some preachers won't go all the way to the cemetery with you. But thanks be to God, he goes all the way with you. He is an all the way God. Not piece of the way, but all of the way. He walks with us and talks with us and tells us that we are his own. Listen to what Zacchaeus said in his own house. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. The half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold. And look what Jesus said to his confession and to his acknowledgement that Christ had come into his life. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Briefly, let me share with you three things that I see in this text that moves me to talk about come on down. The first thing is that you're never too small for God to use you, only too big. Some of us are too big for God to use us. You remember that rich young ruler that we talked about last week? He asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was rich. He was a ruler. He had control of people. He had control of situations, but he did not have control of his life. And Jesus said, sell what you have and give to the poor. The Bible says that he walked away sorrowful. He walked away unencouraged. He walked away from Jesus with what he had, but he could have gotten more by turning his life over to Jesus. Jeremiah 4:5 says, do you seek great things for yourselves? Do not seek them. Stop worrying about trying to make things happen. Maybe this is not what God wants for you. It may not be God's will for your life. You remember Sarah and Abraham. God had said to Abraham, you and Sarah will bear a child. Sarah laughs at him. The name Isaac means laughter. She laughed, and later on she offered up her servant Hagar. Hagar gives birth to a son, but it's not the son of the promise. You can't rush God. You can't do what you think is right when God gives you a promise. Just wait on that promise. Just believe God. I don't know about you, but I believe God. I believe it will be just as he said. All I have to do is just wait and be patient, not try to rush God, not try to push the agenda. Just wait on God. Hagar gives birth to Ishmael, and later that created a problem in the family. When you rush God, you create a problem for yourself. Paul writes in Philippians 4:11, I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I like what Stratford wrote. After the death of family members, He wrote, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I lost my job, but it's well with my soul. I lost my husband, but it's well with my soul. Lost my wife, lost my children, but it's well with my soul. What makes it well with my soul is the knowledge that Christ Jesus is King of Kings and that he is Lord of Lords. It is well with my soul. When things are going against what I think they ought to go, it's well with my soul. Whatever happens, remember, Second Baptist, God is in control. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. No matter how small or how big, God has it in his hands. So don't worry about how small you are in height. Don't worry about how small you are in wealth. Just wait on God. He knows how to bless you. Amen. Secondly, what God requires of us is honesty and faithfulness. If we are faithful in little things, God will give us more to do in his perfect timing. Zechariah 4:10 says, it reminds us, not to despise the day of small things. Can I help somebody here today by saying to you, if you just got the job and you feel like you are more qualified than the position that you have, God will work it out. God will work it out. If somebody got the job that you think you ought to have, and God has said that your name is on that job, don't worry about it. God will bring it to pass. He knows just what he's doing. He knows how to bring things to pass. We are not a perfect church. But guess what? We are not a perfect church, but we are becoming the church that God wants us to be. For the Spirit does not give us power just so that we can feel good about ourselves or have a wonderful time in worship. Can I help somebody here? If you came to church to praise God, don't let anybody stop you from praising God. You go ahead and praise him. Honor him with your gift of praise. Praise him with a hand clap. Praise him with a lip praise. But however you praise him, don't forget to give God the glory for the things that he has done in your life. Give God glory every day, every hour, every moment, every second. We ought to give God some glory for the things that he has done. We are not a perfect church, but we are a church that is coming back. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, we're on our way back. We're on our way back. And pews may look empty, but guess what? We're on our way back. And the reason why I know we're on our way back is because God woke us up this morning, started us on our way, gave us a challenge, gave us a desire to come and worship and to praise his name. Don't know about you, but we're on our way back. When I heard the choir singing, Daniel lifted up the song, I said, we're on our way back. When I heard Reverend Johnson praying, I said, we're on our way back. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, if the ushers walk the floor, we're on our way back. If the deacons sit on the pew, we're on our way back. If you say amen and praise God, we're on our way back. Just keep on trusting God. A man purchased a new car. After 2 weeks, it stopped. It stopped running. stopped. He called AAA. Called the dealer first and said, I'm going to bring this car back. Turn it back in. I don't want this. Brand new car. 2018. Said, I'm through with this. 2 weeks. Stopped. Well, guess what the AAA man said to him? AAA man tried to start it. Battery was working. Tires were inflated. He asked him, when the last time you put some gas in this car? Can I ask Second Baptist a question? If we're on our way back, when's the last time you praise God by coming to prayer meeting? When the last time you prayed and asked God and thanked God for the blessings that he has given you? If we're on our way back, can I ask you a question? When is the last time that you praise God regardless of what was going on in your life? I close with this. Job is my example of how to praise God in difficult times. Job lost all that he had, but he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When his wife said to him, Job, you ought to curse God and die, the Bible says that Job shaved his head and praised God even the more. Can I say something? When you're going through something, that's not a time to stop praising God. That's the time to praise God the more. For the more you praise him, the more he blesses. The more you send up praises, the more blessings come down. I'm a living witness that the more you give God glory, the more God gives you praise. The more you trust God, the more God trusts you. I don't know how you feel about it, but I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I like what Amanda Phillips said. It ain't no harm to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise him. Can I get somebody to come on down with a word of praise? Come on down with a prayer. Come on down to praise the true and living God. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You don't know their testimony. You just praise God. I don't know about you, but I come to praise him. In the morning, I'm going to praise him. In the afternoon, I'm going to praise him. In the evening time, at midnight, I'm going to talk to God, because he's worthy of all my praise. He's worthy of all my thanksgiving. I'm praising him for what he's done for me. Not the house, not the car, but the dying on Calvary. Is there anybody here that knows he died for your sins? He died for my sins. And on that morning, when this life is over, Gabriel shall blow his horn, shall blow so loud until the dead in Christ shall rise. Where shall I be? Somewhere. Somewhere. Listening for my name. And when the road is called up yonder, I shall be there to answer his call. Come on. Come on down. The price is right. The price is right. Come on down. Is there anybody, as our deacons come, is there anybody willing to come on down? The Lord has been good to you. Let you raise your children. Let your children have children. The Lord has been good to you. Retired from the military. Retired from civil service. Some of us have retired 3 times. And that's because God is good. As the Father, he's good. As the Son, he's good. As the Holy Spirit, he's good. He is the triune God. He is a God with all power. I wished I had a praying church today. Standing, invite you to give your life to Christ. When is the last time
you put some gas in this church.
He's an on-time God. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
On time. Job said, but he'll be there right on time. Oh, he's an on time. Let's say it again. He's an on time God. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Job said, but he'll be there right on time. You can ask the 5,000 hungry souls he fed by the banks of the river with two fish and five loaves of bread. What a miracle he performed for the multitude. And what he did way back then, he'll do the same for me and you. Oh, he's an on-time God. Oh, on-time God. Job said, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Here's another story. You can ask the children of Israel, trapped by the Red Sea, by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. See, they had water all around them, and Pharaoh on the back. And what God did, just like that, he made a highway, just like that. Oh, he's an on-time. Yes, he is. Oh, he's an on-time God. Job said he may not come, but he'll be there right on time. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. You can ask the children of Israel, trapped by the Red Sea, by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them, Pharaoh on the back. And what he did, he parted the rivers just like that, made a highway just like that. Oh, he's an on-time Savior. Yes, he is. Oh, on-time God. Yes, he is. Job said he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yeah, he's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all, he's on time.
Amen. Well, let me say, we're on our way back. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Can never be too small for God to use. Only too big. What God requires of us is honesty and faithfulness. We are not a perfect church, but we are a church that is coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You invited every one of you to go over to the community center and to dine. We have, well, it was good when I tasted it. We have good ribs, pork ribs. We have good beef. We have good chicken and good sausages. I've had them all. And they taste mighty good to me. And those of you who don't eat with friends and worship, and you want chicken, don't want chicken, want a salad, we got some coleslaw for you. Got some ranch style beans and coleslaw. My ranch style beans. Well, they were mine before Jackie went over there. So we want you to enjoy them. We do have carry out plates, and we do have regular portion plates. If you're gonna carry a meal out, don't sit down and eat one. Amen. Hello. I'll tell you what. With more. Amen. We have enough for everybody. Enough chicken, enough ribs. The sausage is kind of weak, but everything else is powerful. Amen. So please come join us in the fellowship. We need your help. We need your support. Deacon Smith is going to pay for this meal. If he pays his tithes and offering, he's paying for this meal.
Amen.
Amen. And that's going to happen. Amen. Amen. So praise God. You know, I'm going to take Smitty behind the barn. He said he's going to be the only one to come out. I guess we better get a benediction on that one. And now, my brothers and sisters, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you.